This teaching is for me, so you all can listen in though as God talks to me, all right? And it's called Season of Love, and I found out I'm still not walking in that love walk the way I ought. So this is for me, but I just thought y'all might want to listen in. And then that way you can just maybe find out where you're at too, all right? Well, President Donald J. Trump is our president. He's going to remain our president. And I hope you know, if you're a prophet, that you hear God's voice. And you just don't wishy-washy around with every little bit of wind that comes your way. Well, you know, that's what I heard, but maybe I didn't heard it. Now this is what I'm hearing, and maybe tomorrow I'll hear something different. Get out of here. Come on. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came up, and I started crying. I started prophesying to him. And let's say about 2 minutes into the prophecy, all of a sudden darkness settled in. And, you know, and I had my eyes closed, looking down at the floor, and looked up, and the guy was staring at me like this. And I said, why did you do that? And he said, what? I said, you went into debt. You don't believe this is God speaking to you. You just stopped the anointing from flowing. And then we had to talk about that. But I have never had the anointing be cut off like that so quickly, you know, before. And it really shocked me. And so anyhow, then I just sit and talk to him, you know, with whatever God was telling me to say to him. But and then I found out he never heard a prophecy before. And he just couldn't believe what God was saying to him because he wasn't there yet, you know. And so he just couldn't believe that was God. And you'll run across many people that just aren't there yet. But you still have to say whatever God is saying to them because God wants to move them and use them. All right, let's get into this teaching. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you. And I thank you, Father God, that you love each and every one of us that are here tonight, that you are in our midst. The praise and worship was just beautiful, Father, and your Spirit was moving through that also. And all these that came out tonight, Father, I really want you to do something very, very, very special to them and for them on Christmas Day. I want the miracle of miracles to happen in their lives. And Father God, whatever transformation needs to be done, I want you to do it. Show them, Father God, how much you love them, that they sacrifice to come out into your house because they love you. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Christmas is all about love. Is it not? All afternoon, the kids were watching that Bible channel on the TV, and they were learning some things they didn't know before. And as I even watched it, you know, they watched the crucifixion, they showed the crucifixion too. And, you know, and it makes me want to cry knowing that how we sit in the house of God after and don't really serve God the way we ought with everything he had to go through. You know, it's really sad. All right, Christmas is all about love. And during this Christmas season, why not constantly ask yourself this question? What would love do? And maybe you've had to be like me and backtrack and say, I repent and say, all right, what would you do, God, in this situation? Right? So Matthew, let's look at Matthew 26. Let's look at verses 31 through 46. Then Jesus said to them, you will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night. You will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night, distrusting and deserting me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up to life again, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And Peter declared to Jesus, though they all are offended and stumble and fall away because of you and distrust and desert you, I will never do so. We've all been guilty of that. Even though they don't love, I will continue to love, right? And Jesus said to Peter, solemnly I declare to you this very night before a single rooster crows, you will deny and disown me 3 times. Peter said to Jesus, even if I must die with you, I will not deny or disown you. And all the disciples said the same thing. How many of you said, God, you'll never catch me acting like them heathen do? Right? Then Jesus went with him to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, sit down here while I go over yonder and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, Jesus began to show grief and distress of mind and was deeply depressed. So what did Jesus do? Let's read this again. In taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, Jesus began to show grief and distress of mind and was deeply depressed. Then Jesus said to them, my soul is very sad and deeply grieved, so that I am almost dying of sorrow. Stay here and keep awake and keep watch with me. And going a little further, Jesus threw himself upon the ground on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not what I desire, but as you will and desire. Jesus did not want to go through what he knew he had to go through. And Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, what? Are you so utterly unable to stay awake and keep watch with me for 1 hour? All of you must keep awake, give strict attention, be cautious and active, and watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass by unless I drink it, your will be done. Now tell me right there, did Jesus really want to go through the beating he went through? Did he really want to carry that cross? Did he really want to hang there all day until he died? No, he did not. And again, Jesus came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were weighted down with sleep. So leaving them again, Jesus went away and prayed for the third time using the same words. You know, if this cannot pass by unless I drink it, your will be done. Then he returned to disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of especially wicked sinners, whose way or nature it is to act in opposition to God. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now that's love. When God gives us assignments, they're going to be just like Jesus' assignment. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be fun. It might cause us a lot of pain and heartache and tears. But like Jesus, we have to say, Father, if it's your will, then I'll go ahead and complete this assignment. And we have to go through it, no matter what it costs us. That is love when you do that. Because God's going to ask you, or has been asking you, to love the unlovable. And as you love the unlovable, you're showing the love of Christ. I hope it's not an act that you put on. I hope it's really showing the love of Christ. Are you listening here? We do not act like Jesus. Real agape love restores. God wants us to restore the body of Christ back into their rightful place. He is not out to kill you. On the contrary, he is out to love you into his kingdom. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive and to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Ye which are spiritual refers to all of us, if we're really surrendered totally and completely to God. Because not everybody sitting in the house of God is spiritual. You're there in body only. But ye who are spiritual, who have sold yourself up to God, refers to all of us. We are the children of God. We have been covered with the blood of Jesus. And God our Father wants us to restore those overtaken in a fault and to do it in a spirit of meekness or humility. And I have failed in that this week. how many times you have to go through this thing? Why can't you just get it together? Well, they can't get it together because they don't know God like you know God. And you're supposed to be just like Jesus. And you're supposed to love them through that time of trial and tribulation. You will be utterly surprised who God is going to use in this dispensation of time. Utterly and totally surprised at what you're going to see standing behind pulpits and sitting in the house of God. 1 Peter 4:8 is about charity or love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Think of it. Sin is the worst thing in our universe. It separates us from God. But the moment you confess your sins, God's love covers. We can learn something about God's love from what we call the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13:7 tells us, love beareth all things. Another translation says, love covers all things with silence. With silence. I had a hard time this week. That's why I said this message is for me. You know, we don't want to go through life fooling ourselves. And then when life ends, God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. You're going to have to constantly, every second of every day, be checking what you're thinking, what you're saying, and what you're doing. And you're going to have to be honest. Are you really acting like Jesus? Come on, are you really acting like Jesus? I really believe if we really checked ourselves really close with a little magnifying glass, we'd find out we aren't acting like Jesus. Come on. Once a person repents, God is saying that love not only hides the sins and evil of others, it refuses to speak of them. This is where I failed. I was speaking of them. And God said, what are you doing? How many of you are speaking of the sin of somebody else? How many of you are throwing that sin? I didn't do this, but how many of you are throwing that sin up into their face constantly? You know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? Then why are you judging your brother and your sister? Why are you continuing looking at their flaws when you should be looking to Jesus, because Jesus has just spoken a word into their life and Jesus said they're going to be fine? But you look at them and you're constantly telling them and ridiculing them and telling them of their faults and their flaws. That's not walking in the love of Christ. It really isn't. Come on. Some people are hard to love, but you know, but we as Christians shouldn't find that a problem. We should be able to love everyone. Jesus showed perfect love when he forgave those who were responsible for sending him to the cross. And in Luke 23:34, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and distributed them by casting lots. But what I wanted to get at is he said, Father, forgive them. You watch everything they put him through. But yet as he hung on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they really didn't. And he knew they didn't. And they were just running with the crowd, doing what the crowd was doing, caught up in the moment, and crucified him. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes his sins will obtain mercy. You know, guys, you might have a husband, you might have a wife or kids or a friend who is really trying really, really hard to get out of a sin, and they're crying out God and crying out to God, and it's just not working. It's not your job to keep putting them down. It's your job to be praying for them, being a reinforcement for them, and covering them with the blood of Jesus, helping them to get out of that sin. Are you listening? You know, you really don't know what's going on in that person's private life. You don't know what they're doing when they're alone, say in a bathroom. They could be in there crying out to God with everything, fiber their being. They could be driving down the road crying out to God, tears streaming down their face. God, please, please, please set me free. I remember one time God said to somebody, nobody but you and I know how hard you are trying to get out of this sin and how much you cry out to me. And that is true. I don't know what you do in your bedroom. I don't know what you do when you're out working in the yard. I don't know if you're crying out to God, you know, but you and God do. It's not our job to keep pushing you down. It's our job to stand behind you and encourage you to go forth. Some people think God gave them the gift of exposing, right? Too often we put God's plan in reverse. We want to use love to cover up our own wrongdoings, but we want to expose someone else's. Have you ever noticed that people who really don't like themselves will talk about other people and run them down? You know, they do all the opposite because if you really listen to them, you can see this is where they're at. And they really don't like themselves, so they have to put somebody else down to make themselves feel a little bit better, right? Even though we know God has forgiven a person, some people never can forgive them. I feel sorry for people like that because they're not going to go to heaven either. 1 Corinthians 13:3-4. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. That's what love doesn't do, right? I believe that there's a spirit in the atmosphere that wants us to keep looking at other people's faults and flaws. I do know that spirit is there, that spirit of darkness, to keep us coming against a person who's trying to be set free so that they won't be set free. And I've been really battling this. Why don't they get it together? Why don't they get it together? You know, well, why don't I get it together and start doing my job? And my job is to pray. My job is to love. Well, God and that person get it together, whoever the person is, right? You know, you need to really, whenever you're fussing about somebody and their sin, you need to thank God that you're not in that position. You need to thank God you're not in that bondage. And you just need to pray and lift them up with the love of Christ. And if you notice things are getting darker and darker and darker, you know, if you're working with this person that has a bad problem, it just seems like the more they try to get out of it, the darker it becomes. This is what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to take us out before we fulfill our calling in Christ. So what we need to do is we need to gather around our brothers and our sisters, and we need to just tell them, hey, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you, and you'll make this thing. You'll come through this thing. You won't be caught in this ditch that you're in. And I'm hoping that this Christmas season, that God's love is shed abroad to the place where we'll start doing that. Well, we won't look at the people's flaws. Well, we might even come to the point and say, God, why are they acting like that? Would you please show me what's going on so I know how to really pray for this person? You know, what are they hung up in? What are they caught? What trap are they caught in? What kind of spirit's holding them in bondage? You know? All right, this scripture tells us that love works by being kind, even under long continued suffering, deep suffering brought on by someone else. And I'm not talking about suffering or disease brought your way by the devil. This is all about suffering caused by other people. This is about remarks said about you. In Psalm 55:11 says, there is so much crime in the streets. People who hurt and cheat others are everywhere. If it were an enemy insulting me, I could bear it. If it were my enemies attacking me, I could hide. But it is you, the one so close to me, my companion, my good friend, who does this. See that? We used to share our secrets with one another as we walked through the crowds together in God's temple. It's not those away from you. It's those right close to you, the ones you hold hands with, the ones you eat with, that are hurting you, not strangers. And it's they're saying here, it's really hard when it's you who I trusted and who I admired that's hurting me. That should be undergirding me, but you're not. You're tearing me down. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 says, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who treat you badly." Why? Matthew 5:45 says, Jesus says, if you do this, you will be children who are truly like your Father in heaven. He lets the sun rise for all people, whether they are good or bad. He sends rain to those who do right and to those who do wrong. If you love only those who love you, why should you get a reward for that? Even the tax collectors do that. And if you are nice only to your friends, you are no better than anyone else. Even the people who don't know God are nice to their friends. What I am saying is that you must be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Come on. You must be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How many of us can truly say, I dearly do walk in the love of God the way Jesus did? How many of you can say, I can turn the other cheek even though it's bleeding? And you, when people are really doing you dirty, it's really hard to turn the other cheek, especially when it's affecting your loved ones. But God is telling us we have to turn the other cheek. That's the only way we're going to win the world to Christ. And this is where love really has to work. Because you must love those who have hurt you, keep your mouth shut, endure, and be kind. And this is where I'm failing this week. I really having a hard time with that, and I'm being honest. Because you must love those who have hurt you, keep your mouth shut, endure, and be kind. You know, okay, so after I throw my fit, and then I say, God, I'm really sorry, that doesn't undo what I just did. Are you seeing that? You know, I used to be that place, and I should be that place right now where I shouldn't have to repent of that. I shouldn't have that flaw. Because, like I tell my little ones, once you hurt somebody, saying sorry does not take away what you just did to them. Now, I'm not telling people, I just go in my room and I fuss to myself. But I shouldn't go in my room and fuss to myself. You see what I'm saying? I shouldn't have to go to my room at all and do anything. I should just do exactly what we just read. Endure it. Go through with it. Jesus did when he went to the... He endured everything when he was walking on the earth. Yes, he did get upset. And I'm saying, not saying we shouldn't get upset. But I'm saying the body of Christ has not perfected their love walk yet. There are people who come into the church and get offended at the word. They leave the church and take half of the church with them. Then you run across them at another church or you see them downtown, and what do you do? Exactly what Jesus told us to do. You look at them and say, hi, how are you? I just want to tell you how much I love and appreciate you. We don't do that. I thank God I don't go out much. I don't have to worry about that. I had a preacher one time make me leave her church, and when she saw me downtown, she hid in the dresses in Boscov's. You know, I thought, now how dumb. How dumb. All right, what did Jesus do at Calvary? In Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, I'm going to tell you, in my love walk, I came to the point where I used to always say that, and I come to my love walk one time, and I would say that, and God said, no, don't say that again. They do know what they are doing. And I'm taking care of this. So, you know, you might be one like me. You always say, well, they don't know what they're doing. Yes, they do. And they're deliberately doing what they're doing to hurt you. But it's not our job to retaliate. It's our job to let God take care of the situation. All right? We need to understand, like Jesus did, that if we are to maintain any kind of faith walk, we need to understand, like Jesus did, we must put down our carnal nature. How many of you found out in the last 2 weeks you have the biggest carnal nature that could ever exist? Because everybody, it seems like right now, the devil's putting everybody in your face, doing everything he can, trying to tear you down and trying to get you to walk from love to hate. Amen? Well, if you're not there, thank God you're not there. You might get there next week. But he's really working, and I've watched him. He's working overtime in everybody's lives, you know, that I know, trying to make them get out of the love walk and do things that are not godly. The secret is letting the love of God work within our spirit. The word tells us that Galatians 5:6, faith worketh by what? Love. If we are not walking in love, our faith won't work. So if you're wondering why your prayers aren't being answered, where's your love walk at? God is love. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. He has imparted his love to us. If we learn how to operate in the law of love, the law of faith will work for us because faith worketh by love. Come on. Faith worketh by love. Why isn't Jesus healing? Why is he put in a healing ministry? He said he was going to bring it forth. Where's our love walk? You could be a healing minister and you could have 10 people lined up, and the first two, you would just want God to heal them. Your third one, you don't like, so God don't heal them. You walk by them. If your love walk isn't working right, that's what you'll do. Come on. They're not worth healing, and you just walk right on by them. That, I know that that's the way it works. I've seen it happen. I haven't done it, but I've seen it happen. I was doing deliverance on somebody in a church I was going to, and God was just ready to set them free, and the pastor came by and said, I told you not to minister to him. Get up, walk away from him. The pastor didn't like the person. The pastor didn't want him set free. The minute he said that and pulled my arm, made me get away, this person walked with her head to the side all the time. And, you know, she walks side, it looks sideways. And I could feel it. It was loosening and loosening. It was just about ready to, that spirit was about ready to let go of her when he grabbed me by the arm and said, I've told you not to minister to her. And her head went right back where it was. And she was still that way years ago. I don't know if she died yet or not, but she was still that way because the pastor did not like her. The pastor did not want to see her set free. Come on. That pastor's not the only one that's done stuff like that. Well, they don't deserve to be blessed. Come on. Let's just not just say, oh, that bad pastor. Let's just say, let me search myself real deep, Lord, and make sure that I'm walking in love walk, and I'm not one of those. Right? All right. Just like Jesus, when you get your life and your actions lined up with the Word of God and your place, and you place a strong guard on your tongue, you will find the love walk becoming automatic. Each one of you sitting here tonight, you know where your love walk is. And you can fool me by saying, oh, well, I'm walking in perfect life. No, you're not. No, you're not. Even though I said this was for me and you could listen, you're there too. You have a few problems. Some of you have bad bosses and you don't think nicely of them and you don't want good things to happen to them either. See, that's not right. Just like Jesus, when someone provokes you and you feel that old nature start to rise up inside of you, instead of retaliating, speak kind words of love. I about bit my tongue off this week a couple times because I couldn't think of a kind word to say. And I had to keep my mouth shut. Now, come on. I'm not the only one in that boat. This is where the enemy's at. He's trying to get us out of our love walk. In fact, I sat and I said, God, I never thought I'd ever have to fight like this to love anything. Because I've always loved, no matter what. But I am fighting tooth and nail to stay in the love walk. And I'm just being honest. And if I wouldn't be fighting tooth and nail, I wouldn't be standing here today. I can guarantee you right now. It's all about love, guys. All right, I said, instead of retaliating, speak kind words of love. You will find yourself growing spiritually when you do this. Then you will wake up one morning and find that good things are happening to you. Everything you need is coming to you when you start blessing those who are hard to bless. Then it will dawn on you that while you are walking the love walk, you are not having to make all these good things happen. They are happening automatically as you walk in love. Your faith is strong, and faith worketh by love, God's love, that love that covers everything. Your faith becomes strong, and faith worketh by love, God's love that covers everything. The only way that we're going to win the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, all those street people to Christ is by loving them right where they're at. Some of our kids aren't very loving right now. The enemy's working on them overtime. But the only way these kids are going to come through, you know, these different changes in their life is if we love them through it all. Sometimes, you know, your hormones go crazy, you grown-ups. And, you know, some days you're not very lovable. But your mate or whoever's around about you should still love you no matter what you're going through, because they're not in your body. They don't understand what you're going through. So instead of them carrying on like a fool and making things worse, they should just say, God, you know exactly what's going on here. I'm just going to put them in your hands and I'm going to continue to love them. Right? No matter what they're doing, I'm going to continue to love them. Oh, my goodness. Some of you are sitting there saying, I can't believe she's telling me I got to do this. We're going to have to do this. Why are we not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles? Our love walks aren't right. Come on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul shows us some characteristics of the God kind of love. And here are a few. Love is not puffed up in verse 4. Love does not think more highly of itself than it should. Instead, love supports and nurtures others. Others, not yourself. In verse 5, love seeketh not her own. Instead of being self-centered, love prefers others and unselfishly helps them. And in verse 5, love is not easily provoked. The God kind of love does not get angry easily. You know, say, there we go. The God kind of love does not get angry easily. Let somebody look at your cross side and pull you right, bite your head off. Your love got lost somewhere and it's not working. Right? Love endureth all things, verse 7 tells me. Not just a few, all things. Enduring God's way means going through trying hurtful and slanderous experiences calmly, silently, without complaining, as if they weren't happening. Geez, I have to go to heaven right now for that to happen. Right? Let's read that again. Love endureth all things, verse 7 tells us. Enduring God's way means going through trying, hurtful, and slanderous experiences calmly, silently, without complaining, as if they weren't happening. I have failed that test so many times this week. And we're wondering why we're just sitting here and God's not doing anything. Now, we all know as we read the word that Jesus got upset. He got angry and he told the people off. We know that. But he had good reasons. Now, I know some of you guys say, oh, she gave me a loophole here. I have a good reason to be upset and throw a fit. And no, you don't. Come on. No, you don't. God is love, 1 John 4:8, and he has imparted his love to us in Romans 5:5. Seek to live your life in love each day. As you do, you will not only reap spiritual benefits, but also natural benefits beyond what you ever thought possible. Read that again. God is love, 1 John 4:8 tells me, and he has imparted his love to us, Romans 5:5. Seek to live your life in love each day, each second of each day. As you do, you will not only reap spiritual benefits, but also natural benefits beyond what you ever thought possible. You won't be able to sleep tonight because you're going to be laying around thinking, God, how am I going to accomplish this? This is a hard task you placed before me. God's word keeps telling me, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you, right? Do good to those who come into your home and take it over and tell you what to do. Do with a smile on your face. Come on. Somebody calls you up on the phone, they can't live their own life. They're telling you how to live yours. Right? And you're supposed to take all that how? Now that's an impossible task, right? But with God, all things are possible. God, you come and be in this phone conversation and you keep me mild and quiet and glue the tongue to the top roof of my mouth so I don't say anything I shouldn't say. And I need to be spiritual all the way through this conversation and, you know, on and on and on. Well, Corrie Ten Boom's sister accomplished all that. She did. Went through that whole concentration experience and then died. Never complained, not one time. I think she must have been Jesus incarnate. I'm sort of making light with this, but it's very serious. God has shown me that's why the lighthouse is not prospering, because we do not have our love walk right. And I told you this message was for me, and I was just going to let you listen. Aren't you glad you listened in? Yes. You know, what we need to do is ask God to let love be his gift to us, that the agape love be his gift to us this Christmas, where we can love the unlovable and where we don't complain about what other people do. Instead, we find out from God why they're going through what they're going through and then pray for them. That's a hard task, but we can accomplish it. I used to live it, and now I know I'm not. And now I say, God, I've got to get into that deep agape love walk again and quit complaining. Do you all think you can accomplish that? That husband of mine, I wished he would go somewhere. Well, God might take him somewhere for you, far away, and you'll never see him again. Instead of saying that, why don't you say, God, give me more love for my spouse. Let me accept him as he is, as he accepts me as I am. As God, as you accept me as I am. Right? And we know all these things are going on in our lives, don't we? Let me love my daughter who changes her hair every week, the color of her hair every week. Who won't pick up after herself. My boys don't pick up after herself. That's why I said that. Come on. I have found out that I have become a nitpicker. And if you all would check yourself, maybe find out you have too. You're not a love vessel any longer, but you're a nitpicker. It's the darkness that's seeping into our hearts, and we have to stop that darkness from coming into our hearts, and we have just got to have the love of Christ. We have to. when I was first born again, I read story after story where, you know, one spouse would be saved and the other was a hellion, or they both were hellions and one got saved and the other was still a hellion. And instead of them trying to change them by words, they just did acts of love for them and to them, and that changed them because they wanted to be what the other spouse had become. And they never once said, you need to change. You know, they just loved them where they were at, prayed, held them up before the Father, and the Father changed them. Love changed them. That's why you can watch the crucifixion over and over and over again, and you never change, because you don't have love in your heart. Your heart's hardened. You think it's terrible when you're watching it, but then you soon forget about what you just saw. Because that was love that took all those stripes on him. That was love who was beaten and persecuted. That was love that hung on the cross. That was love that where the blood ran down Calvary's hill. God wants you to be just like Jesus. And he would like for you to start this Christmas season to really, truly try to become just like Jesus. Get your love walk together. And stay in the love walk and don't be talking about a person's faults or their problems. Because every time you talk about their problems, you know, that gives the enemy more room to work with, doesn't it? We aren't helping the person. We're pushing them deeper into that abyss. So let's quit talking about other people's faults. And let's just learn to love. And go about the Father's business and let God do the changing and rearranging. All right? Tonight, God said he wants to anoint you to be just like Jesus. That he wants you to anoint you with a new anointing where you will walk in the love of Jesus. And the altar's open and you'll walk in the love of Jesus and you'll be just like him. And you won't go back into that booby trap of hate and discord. Strife, envy, jealousy.